Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Thank you, Heisty. Welcome back. Grant and Danny kicking off the 4 o'clock hour on The Fan in D.C. and in Richmond. Nationwide on radio.com. Take us with you on the app. Shows presented by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. Danny, if with your permission, sir, if you are okay with it, I would love to blow out our projected discussion on Todd McShay's mock draft, where he's got four quarterbacks going with his first four picks. That we're going to do at 4:25, coming up in about 20 minutes, to do a double play, because I got some of the greatest news. This is non-sports related, but some of the best news that I've ever gotten in my life today. I'm going to be honest with you.
Man, that's a big buildup. Let's go for it.
All right, so at 4:25, that incredible news. It will change my life. It will change Danny's life. And if you're cool enough and smart enough and if you are interested enough to allow this to change your life, it will change your life as well. We'll do that at 4:25. But it is time first for our Beltway Blitz on the teams in town we care the most about. So let's get right to it and start you off with a hot Wizards team. Ava Wallace covers the Wiz for the Washington Post. Ava, last night was fun. 2-point win over the Clippers. I know they didn't have Marcus Morris, and more importantly, Paul George. But that's still a tough team to beat. What'd you think of the victory? How'd Washington pull it off?
It was great. It was great for them because they've been in that situation kind of down the stretch before. And last night's win required a lot of awareness. It required smart decision-making. It required everyone's kind of heads to be up. And it ended weirdly on a rebounding highlight, which I feel like we don't see a ton. So it was a really fun win for them all around, and much better to go into vacation on a win than on a loss. So, yeah, they would take it for sure.
I know this isn't the focal point here, but I can't get past it. I am a cranky, curmudgeonly old man shaking my fist at the ocean over oat bran, muesli, and like prune juice, Ava. The free throws with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on? It's not only just a thing. It's a thing that's become another thing that's morphed into a third thing that now has thin kids.
Yeah, he's. I think it's a career. I was looking at those numbers this morning. He's shooting a career low from the line, sub 60%. We asked Scott Brooks last night, and he said kind of what he always said when we asked him about Russell Westbrook, kind of the warts he has on his games, whether it's the turnovers this season, which are also at a career high, or the free throws. He said, I'll take him. I'll take him for what Russell Westbrook brings to our team. He could live with five missed free throws. He said maybe not eight, but five missed free throws he could deal with. I don't know what's going on there, whether that's a mental thing for Westbrook or not, because pretty much every other aspect of his game he's brought up. So, yeah, it's something to keep an eye on with him, but it's not really bothering the Wizards any.
No, it hasn't been, but it can be costly in some of these games. And if you go back and look at how many they lost by or what the score of the game was and he missed free throws, and they do add up at some point. How about this
they
weekend?
They could have hurt him last night, yeah.
Bradley Beal in the All-Star game is a story, but starting in the All-Star game is a game changer for him potentially and how he's viewed around the league. What are you expecting from the show he'll try to put on?
I think he is going to try to put on a show. I kind of hope he's trying to put on a show, too. It would be really fun. You know, you think about how many Wizards have been All-Star starters, you know, have won the fan vote, and it's Gilbert Arenas and John Wall and Bradley Beal this millennium. So there's really it's a really small club, and it's interesting, especially because, I mean, you guys know the Wizards aren't on national TV a lot. So Bradley Beal won the fan vote by a lot of votes without ever really being on national TV and just kind of ESPN playing his highlights or all the trade rumors swirling online. He's kind of a known quantity, both for what he does on court and for his situation with the Wizards. But it doesn't really matter. I don't know if he cares that much as long as he's got eyes and he's got people appreciating his game. So I kind of wonder if he's going to put some sauce on it on Sunday. That would be really fun.
Yeah, I would enjoy that. Ava, super quick, 20 days from the trade deadline. It crept up on me quickly. What might they do and what should they do?
I'm expecting a quieter trade deadline for these guys. They're just kind of putting things together right now. They don't have a lot of – well, first, they don't have a lot of room to make a big trade, an impactful trade. But they're just kind of starting to put things together. So I think they're going to roll with what they've got for a while. And maybe, if anything, back up at center, get a big man. They've got a three-man rotation right now, but it would be interesting to see what they do there.
Ava, thank you so much. Keep doing great work on the Wiz Beat.
Thanks, guys.
Let's keep the Blitz moving. And let's keep the Caps streaking, huh? Four in a row for the good guys. They look to make it five in a row against the Bruins. If you feel like they just played Boston, it's because they did. Drop the puck tonight at 7 o'clock. Ben Raby will be part of the radio broadcast right here at the Fan that kicks off after us at 6:45. Ben, what are they doing better during this streak?
Clamping down defensively the other night against Boston was a perfect example of that. Took the Bruins north of 15 minutes in the first period before they even managed their first shot on goal. But you look, Grant, at the four-game winning streak. Common theme, Capitals have held the opposition to two goals or fewer in all four games. And usually that's a good recipe for success when you have the firepower the Capitals have. And the other night against Boston, that firepower contained to an extent from a Capitals perspective, but again, a stingy defensive effort gave themselves the opportunity to eventually prevail in a shootout. Vitek Vanecek and the defense as a whole, very, very impressive over the last, really over the last few weeks. The sample size is growing now.
It seemed like they blocked a million shots and like it's been more of an emphasis. Is that something they're working on at practice, or you know, did that just kind of happen?
Yeah, certainly they're limiting the middle. I mean, the quote-unquote high-danger area is something we saw quite a bit of on the weekend against New Jersey. Essentially, the shots that we're getting through, to your point, certainly not in close and really limiting, you know, the box, if you will, the slot. Certainly the options or the opportunities, I should say, from whether it was the Devils over the weekend or the Bruins on Wednesday night, making a cognizant effort, certainly, to limit those opportunities from in close, which also is a big difference from earlier in the year when we talked about some of those defensive breakdowns they were having early this season. The Capitals were allowing a lot of opportunities from in close, and it was like a fire drill inside their own zone. Big difference compared to weeks ago.
So two things real quick. The first one's for Grant. The second one's for Ben. Because we're friends with Nick Ashton, we talk about how handsome he is. I think we lose the fact that Ben Raby is really handsome with really good hair. You know what I mean? I think we don't spend enough time talking about that. So I want to make sure I throw that out there. That's number one. Number two, Ben, who hasn't taken to Coach Laviolette's system just yet? I feel like there are a couple guys who are maybe a little bit slower to adapt.
Best hair on the radio broadcast team, bar none, Danny. Don't ever forget that.
You got better hair than Walton and Sabrin? You're giving yourself that nod?
Absolutely. Yeah, right. You combine them. They don't stand a chance, no. System or not, Danny, again, we've been saying since before the season started, we were looking for a little bit more this year out of Evgeny Kuznetsov, and I will say maybe give him a little bit of a mulligan, missed eight games due to the COVID absence, more recently missed two games due to an upper body injury. But I think for the Capitals, biggest storyline here in the month of March as far as individuals, I think number one will be the continued battle and storyline in goal between Vanecek and Samsonov, who carries the bulk of the workload as we go towards the second half of the season. But then I think if you're looking at an individual, it's Evgeny Kuznetsov. He played well the other night against the Boston Bruins, north of 20 minutes for the first time this season. He's seven games now without a goal. He has only one even-strength goal this season. If the Capitals are, again, to make a deep postseason run, they're going to need Kuznetsov to to get going and to start produce consistently. Again, I give him a mulligan for the first half, given all the time he missed. But now that he's back in and skating on a top line with Ovechkin, let's see him get going and start to produce with some consistency.
Ben Raby, Capitals broadcast tonight. Make sure you're listening to him. He does an awesome job pre-post and intermissions. John Walton on the call right here on The Fan. Benjamin, thank you, sir.
Thank you, fellas.
Thanks,
from one Ben to another, let's talk some football. Ben Standick covers the football team for The Athletic. At what age were you no longer Benjamin and you went to Ben? Or were you always Ben and you were never Benjamin?
No, my mother would have a hissy fit if anybody called me anything other than Benjamin. Probably when I got to college and she wasn't around, things started to evolve. Somewhere around there.
Very rebellious, you know, yeah. Take that, yeah. Authority figures. Ben, what do you make of the news that Alex Smith wanted his release? Is that just the team being nice, or is this one of those things where maybe they would have kept him around otherwise? Just give me what you thought about that statement.
I guess I took it as, like, I know you're going to break up with me, so I'm going to break up with you first kind of thing, and maybe, you know, maybe because of the GQ situation and to avoid any type of additional negative reaction that they were getting a little bit. Maybe it was just easier to say, yes, Alex wanted to move on and we wanted to grant him that. So it's not looking like they're throwing out this, you know, very popular, inspiring story out the door. I mean, I think from a PR perspective, it makes sense. But, you know, well before the GQ article, I was just under the assumption, as were many, that he was gone for all the reasons we've all talked about 100 times. So, you know, it seems like good PR on their perspective. And, you know, maybe he did want out, but I think everybody could probably see that's where it was headed anyway.
Ben, I really believe I'm going to be telling people and talking about the Smith comeback in 30 years. I mean, it was amazing. And I say that, and I can also say good luck to him and whatever's next, while saying I didn't think he played well. And it was really cool that he was on the field and that he was part of some wins. But Kyle Allen was better than him this year, and Taylor Heinicke was better than him this year, and this was a no-brainer. I mean, it seems like saying that, people have an issue, and those same people have an issue with what the team did. Can't all of that be said and it be okay?
Yeah, I mean, there were some games. Obviously, I thought he played well. The Detroit game, they lost, but it was a nice comeback. The Steelers game, he played fine. But, yeah, by and large, it wasn't.
It was great in the second half of that Steelers game. That's true.
Great game, yeah.
Yeah, and like I had somebody today who's not a fan of the football team, but hearing this news, they were like, wait, why did they get rid of him? I thought he was good. And I was like, well, he was more good in like the locker room leader type and obviously the inspirational aspect. But in terms of, like, you take away all that, just the football part, yeah, I mean, the best game by a quarterback this year on the Washington football team was, I would probably say, Taylor Heinicke in the postseason. And Kyle Allen, I'm kind of where Ron Rivera was to some degree. Maybe not the leadership stuff because that's hard to quantify, but, you know, Kyle Allen, I thought, did a reasonable job and not dissimilar to Alex Smith and maybe arguably, as you're saying, Grant better. So, yeah, I don't really think from a football perspective anybody should really be getting all over them. And then, look, he was going to make a lot of money, have a big cap hit, and it's the only way for them to generate money towards in any real way this year was to move on from him and bring in somebody they hope can be a starter for 16 games or whatever. So, yeah, to me it's a relative no-brainer, and anybody who's sort of flogging the organization is just doing so instinctively because that's what we do with this organization for all obvious reasons.
Ben, what do you make of the reports of today from the junkies and, you know, NFL denial subsequent, just about Wilkinson report, the obstructionalism potentially of Dan Snyder, just kind of the entire panoramic here? What do you know and what are you thinking?
I mean, it's a really interesting stuff that from the junkies. I heard their segment. They had a lot of specific details. It sounds like, you know, it would be weird if somebody went out of their way to create something that was false. So I guess the question, though, is, like, I don't know what they actually have. Do they actually have something that is the actual final report? Do they have some sort of a draft, notes? I don't know what that is. And the NFL denial, you know, I don't know. You know, I got the same confirmation as everybody else, and I don't know what to make of that other than they could be absolutely saying the truth, that they don't have it, that it's, you know, I was told that it's still ongoing, the investigation is still ongoing, so... You know, look, I think everybody is excited who's been around, a fan of this team, who wants the owner change, that it sounds exciting. But, you know, I don't quite know what any of this means, so I'm still going to keep my feet on the ground and just sort of, you know, keep waiting for more concrete information. We're not there yet, but obviously it's pretty interesting, to say the least, what the Junkies put out there.
Yeah, it certainly is. And like you, I think we're all kind of waiting for more context now on what that document means and where it is from. And the league can say, and they did, they told Ben Standing and others that it wasn't true because they haven't seen the document. But I don't know that that means it's not true. They just may not have the document yet. So that's something I would say both sides could be correct. The Junkies have this item and the league doesn't yet. And maybe it's going to be sent to them and be on their desk. What about the timeline, though? Goodell at the Super Bowl press conference said that basically any day this thing could wrap up. He expected it on his desk. That was a month ago. I mean, Michael Phillips had the report of the day, I think it was during the season, like in November or something, when Snyder allegedly did like a four-hour interview with Wilkinson or something like that. I mean, I don't think they'd interview him at the beginning of the investigation. What are we waiting for?
Yeah, I it's a great question. Don't know what's taking so long. I was told that there's no timeline for when this thing is supposedly wrapping up. So whether that's, you know, an accurate depiction of the situation or just, you know, the placeholder comment until somebody has a better answer. I guess the question is, on some level, we don't know. Like, it's easy to say this thing started last summer in theory, so why is it taking so long? But we, I guess, don't know where things have gone. Have they uncovered new things that require more fleshing out? Are people not cooperating in reasonable ways? Or maybe this is just they're being, you know, extra cautious for whatever the reason, and in a good way perhaps, and taking their time. So I would imagine we'll hear something at some point, but, you know, as has been the case with this situation from the start last summer, I'm definitely 100% not going to jump to conclusions or assume anything until we actually get the specific details, because we've already seen too many wrong turns in the story. I've gotten some people into some bad situations.
Benjamin, thank you, buddy. Have a great weekend.
You too, guys. Thanks.
That is your Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. A big thanks to our participants today, Ava Wallace, Ben Standing, getting us up to speed over these last couple of minutes on the teams we cared about with Ben Raby. Danny, I almost asked him, and I stopped myself from doing it because I realized Ben's my boy, and we talk on the phone a lot and talk about the football team, and I worked with him at The Athletic. So this is actually like – I remember one time I accused Rich Campbell, who was a good friend of mine, we were at each other's weddings, of being a class ring guy. And it turned out he did have a class ring, which was a hilarious part of it. But basically it's one of those things where he's like – why would you tell me I'm a class ring guy? And I'm like, oh, you just seem like the kind of guy who has a class ring. And it was like a put down to him, you know? Now, he happened to have one anyway. Like, I could
and
see.
You were right.
and I was right, you know? So with Standing, I was going to say, I bet he's the kind of guy that has a landline phone still. But I think it's the same kind of deal, isn't
it's
it?
It's the like, same kind of deal. Yeah.
It's definitely a little bit of a put down, and I don't like, mean it that way.
But it's here's how it sounds like you're saying it. I bet you could still fax Ben Standing. That's how that comes across. You know what I mean?
Whatever he is, 40 going on 113 sometimes, and I wonder if you have a landline phone.
That's how it sounds. Like, Ben Standing hopes you write him a letter is how you're phrasing that. That's how you're saying it.
And I'm old. I want people to write me a letter. I don't have a landline, but it would be kind of cool to. But I almost asked him that. All right, next, we are going to do a little double play because I got news today that's too good not to. We had a lot of calls on the free agency countdown that we were doing last hour. So let's do it next. I want Danny and our producer team to guess what my news is, and then I'm going to give it to you. It's big, and it's going to change this show's future. I really believe that. You're listening to The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, what a day. What news. Just want to shout it from a rooftop. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Your double play is sponsored by Mattress Warehouse with free next-day delivery and setup available on all orders over $7.99 and a one-year price guarantee. Learn more at sleephappens.com. Double play, what's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Danny, we had to move this sucker. We didn't get to do it. We were taking a bunch of calls, but it's just too important. It's too big a day not to do this. So I got this notification sent to me a little bit before we went on the air, about 5 minutes before showtime. And to be able to refocus, to be able to just find a way to do the show and talk about the Wizards winning and Alex Smith and the Junkies report on Snyder and all those things and not focus on this has been nearly impossible. What do you think I found out about right before the show started?
So I got an inclination. When you were talking this up, I said to myself, there are two distinct possibilities. Possibility number one, this is really actually meaningful and it's like really good for us, in which case I probably would have found something out myself, right? At some point. So I think it's not. I think this is
more about me, I'll be honest.
Yeah. I think it's trivial and fun, but it's a big payoff for you. And here's what I thought of. We were under the impression that you had basically either been bamboozled, scammed, or otherwise a victim of a chaotic and poorly run organization.
Oh, no, where not this.
Where you paid basically $80 for some pizzas that we thought would never come. And I think you got notification that your pizzas are on their way. That's what I think happened.
So a little backstory. I don't want to Jim Rome this thing, and a lot of people listening don't know what's going on, and they're on the outs now. So I will succinctly tell that story. This is several months ago. A couple of kids come to my door. I say kids, they're about high school age. Wearing book bags, and they come to my door with a Joe Corby's pizza pamphlet. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Joe Corby's pizza pamphlets, but like it's a little thing that you do in high school. I used to sell these all the time for different teams I was on. And basically, they said, hey, do you want some pizzas? And this is the first time I've had anyone come to my door since I moved into the new place. I'm new in the neighborhood. I'm thinking maybe these kids live somewhere within one of these houses around the corner. I'm going to take care of these guys. I'm going to be a good neighbor. I'm going to give them some money for whatever their – it was. They said I think it was like NJROTC or something for high school. I said, yeah, no problem. So I said, go ahead. I'll leave it here. And they said, no, we need you to do it now. And I was like, you need me to do it now? That's kind of weird. Okay. And they're just standing there. So now I have to fill this thing out. And I'm like 20-page pamphlet. I'm like flipping through to see what I want. And I'm all pressured and nervous. And so I'm like, okay, I'm just going to get like three pizzas and a thing of cookies, okay? give some to the neighbors, whatever. So I like fill it out, and they're like, it's $76. I'm like, okay. So then I basically was like, all right, how do I pay? Or when do I pay? They're like, you got to pay now. I'm like, okay, I'll give you a check. They're like, no, we need cash. And I'm like, this is very, very weird what's happening here, and something is afoot, but I'm not going to be the guy to suggest that something is afoot. So I'm going to just write them a check. And they're like, all I got is a check. You either want that or you don't. They're like, I'll talk to the guy and I'll talk to our instructor. And if we can't take the check, then we'll come back tomorrow and get cash. I'm like, okay, fine. So the guy texts me that night and says, you know, we can't take the check. So if you want to just give us cash, she's like, you could just, you know, give it to me tomorrow. I'm like, okay. I was like, I'll just leave it in the mailbox. I'm not going to be there. She's like, so that's great. So you don't need to talk to me again. I was like, no. Everything was kind of pointing to this is very shady, right? And as I retell the story now, it's very clear that I was never getting those pizzas.
Right. And we don't think, honestly, that this was like a thievery operation. Just bad organization. That's my belief still. I know that our old associate producer, Tommy, thought that you'd been stolen from and scammed. I don't think so. I think it was just an organization not really well thought out. You should probably be able to take a check, is my point. That's a
but
nice
I had this
threshold.
Guy's number because he had texted me. So I've texted him right. Several times to get the pizzas and never heard
anything
those
responses.
Back.
Yeah,
burner phone type response ratio. Danny, I am here to tell you right now today, I still haven't heard anything and I haven't gotten my pizzas.
I thought you were getting pizzas. Oh, my God.
Those pizzas are never coming. That ship has sailed. I'm glad.
Oh, my God, you had.
I'm glad that you reminded me that I had $80 just that I flushed down the toilet. But that's not what this is about. Darius, do you have a guess?
Tip of the cap. You had me going right. No, I'm not upset. You had me. That whatever that was, you missed the rug pull misdirection. You had me right there. Kudos.
That was a little end around, my friend. That was Jameson Crowder on a little bubble, a little jet sweep action. All right, Darius, what is your guess as to what
I'm going to be honest.
Exciting news is.
I had something, and I completely forgot it because I thought that story.
You were like,
I thought it was it.
Just, yeah, I thought that was it. You blew me away, so I'm done now. I don't have anything.
All right, Danny, you and about 14 listeners are going to know just how important this is. Everyone else is going to go, really? Really? That's what it was about? Here we go. The Miami smash hit. Yardbird, restaurant that I love, that on my honeymoon we had to fly through Miami so that I could eat there on our way to St. Lucia, is opening in Washington, D.C. on April 1st, ladies and gentlemen.
Congrats, man.
Coming to the nation's capital. This has been years in the making. Years. When I first heard about this a couple years ago, I thought I'll be there opening night. I got to find a way. Can we get someone to call over there? Darius, your first mission as our producer. I want to somehow be involved in opening night at Yard House. I don't know what or who
Yardbird.
Yardbird, right. I keep saying Yard House. Oh, if your restaurant starts with a yard, by the way, generally it's one of my favorites. Yardbird, I need to be there on opening. So for people that don't know about Yardbird, Danny, you went to the Vegas location with me once.
Uh-huh.
It was good. I loved it. It was Yardbird. But you haven't been to the OG in Miami. You need to go to the OG in Miami. And it is time, my friends, to go to the Yardbird in Washington, D.C. Now, can you tell me about this location? You're the D.C. guy here. It's in the former Acadiana space in Mount Vernon Triangle. Any file?
Yes. So Acadiana was a few blocks from my old spot. It's about I'd say 5 blocks north and a couple blocks west of Capital One Arena. So it's just outside. Yeah, it's just outside that little area that you would consider, what do you call it? Like, you know, Chinatown, et cetera. So it's the next sort of neighborhood over. It's a good spot on a corner. It's in between a one-way street, which will be a nightmare for you to navigate. I know it's a one-way street. No, that's very hard for you. And it's pretty close, I think, to Mass Ave as it heads kind of northwest to southeast, not far from Union Station.
Can
it's
I
a
do
great
this?
Space.
I have no interest in driving there if they're one-way streets and they go one way at 3 o'clock and other ways at 9 o'clock. And it's
this one is actually only one way all the time.
Okay. I still wish there were two ways that you could go because that's how streets should work, but that's okay. Is it possible for me to do my move where I drive down and I park at City Center, I walk to Yardbird, I eat there, and then I go to a game?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's well within your capacity.
Oh, my God. That's the move. I'm going to do that a million times between now and when I die.
Because it's basically 9th and K. So you got to go a few blocks over and a few blocks down, and you're in the northwest corner.
You could be close to the arena?
It's that close. You could be at that Clyde's entrance there by Cap One Arena, you know what I'm talking about, that where Legal Seafood is, where Clyde's is in that northwest corner. You could be there. Now, you walk way too slowly, and you're always checking your phone. But if you walked at a city pace, you could do it in 6.5 to 7 minutes.
Okay, so if you're doing it in 7 minutes, which means you're sprinting like you're Usain Bolt and you need to win a gold medal, so a normal person could do it in 11 or 12?
No, normal person would be around 7.5 minutes.
I'm so sure.
You're going to be around 12 to 14.
Right. Yeah, your pace is more normal than mine, right? That's
I'm
what you're joking.
No, but dude, listen, here's the thing. I'm going to put the shtick aside for a second. This is big for you.
This is big
for you. You've earned this. I ate at that Yardbird with you in Vegas. That place kicks ass.
Oh, my God.
It was awesome. I couldn't.
Dude, I
regret. Yeah, Dara and I that day went to the buffet there at the Aria, and I pigged out and ate way too much and gained 41 pounds. And so I wasn't really ready for dinner, but the food was so good, I stuffed myself silly again. It's phenomenal.
I'm telling
you, this place is amazing.
This restaurant, again, number one seat all time, not even close. Bury me underneath of the ground there. That's a weird thing to do, bury you in a restaurant. That's very odd.
Yeah, I don't want that, actually.
No, I take that back. Don't bury me in the restaurant, but let me eat that food before I die. How about that?
No, I get you.
Brunches, I could see myself there every weekend. The problem is, I still have to find a way to be a dad, too. Like, I have to find a way to be around my family some.
I get that.
And that's going to be an issue now, I believe. But it's one of these places, when you look up the menu, it says supper instead of dinner. It's a southern table and bar. That's what they refer to themselves as. So we're looking at, like, fried chicken. That's the best fried chicken you ever
had.
Chicken
and waffles.
The original menu of their fried chicken, the founder is a guy named John Kunkel, who's a Georgia native. His grandmother, Llewellyn, I'm not making this up. Her name is Llewellyn. 27-hour brined fried chicken recipe. It's like where it all began.
Mm-mm. Go
That's
ahead.
What you need to know about this place.
Go ahead,
so,
sir.
Appetizers. Can I just read you some of the menu? Is that okay?
Of course. You think I'm not into this? I'm all in.
All right, here we go. Ready? Classic buttermilk biscuits.
Sorry.
Honey butter house-made jam. Huh? Serves four or serves Grant and Danny. We're doing
just
a show.
Danny,
we're doing a show from here. I know we probably legally can't do shows or anything on the road. We're doing a show from here. We need to get CK on the horn immediately.
We will just stand outside with mics.
I will. Masked up outside. I'll just do a Facebook Live from the parking lot. Smoked brisket biscuits. Pickled onion and cucumber. House-made barbecue sauce.
We had those. In the words of Jim Rome, phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Deviled eggs. Dill, chives, smoked trout. Roe? What am I looking for?
Roe.
I'm not going to have that. I'm going to have deviled eggs plain with bacon. That's what I'm going
to
do.
You need to have that.
Fried green tomato. Not for me. It's for Danny. You probably would waste your time with that, wouldn't you?
How dare you, sir? Fried green tomato is a teen, Ms. Davis. And at a place like that where they know what they're doing, it's the best, Jerry, the best.
Crispy chicken biscuits. Skillet cornbread. I'll read more of the menu later in the show. We can get to the mains later in the show. We got to get to Warren Sharp next. Preview free agency with one of the smartest NFL minds that there is. Ladies and gentlemen, Yardbird Restaurant is coming to Washington, D.C. Grant and Danny have to be involved somehow, some way. Send a letter to your congresspeople. You're listening to The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan, presented by BetQL, where you can bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today and visit BetQL.com. If you're familiar with our show, you know we like smart, analytical guests. We don't love hot takers who spew platitudes. That's why we adore the work of Warren Sharp. He's on Twitter at SharpFootball. He invents custom predictive NFL analytics, visualized data, and he does it better than anybody. Warren, welcome back to Grant and Danny, sir. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing great, man. Always a pleasure. So I read your piece about free agency spending, and it runs a little bit counter to what Grant and I are sitting over here calling for, with Washington in a unique spot with some salary cap space and, I don't know, 30-some years of losing. And we're sitting there going, spend on everybody, spend on everybody. But you've got a great piece out that I read the other day that says, not so fast, my friend. It doesn't correlate to success. Could you tell people about it?
Yeah, so it's interesting. You've got to play towards the middle a little bit. A lot of teams and fans, and I think GMs get caught up in it as well. They want to spend a lot in free agency because they want to turn their franchise around quickly. They're tired of losing. But interesting nugget right here. Teams have been twice as likely to turn a losing season into back-to-back winning seasons by spending less than average in free agency during those two seasons than more than average. It's all about who you're getting and how you're getting these guys. It's not about going after the biggest players, because the biggest players, the biggest named guys, what's happening? They're entering into bidding wars. This isn't like you're going to the grocery store and, yeah, there's different varieties of milk and the best one you've got is an organic milk and there's only one of them, and so you can grab it off the shelf and it's yours. There's five other customers there and they're each bidding on that one jug of organic milk, driving up the price that you would have to pay. You're getting far less of a deal when you bring him home. And so that's the problem with free agency in general. But if you look at the teams that are winning Super Bowls, they're still using free agency. They're just using it intelligently and not overspending.
And I think that's smart and makes sense, and I think that's the way to do it. Here's my question, and I looked at, and if you haven't yet, go to Sharp Football and look at the chart among the other things that Warren's provided. It's great. But isn't there something to be said for the teams that are often spending huge in free agency aren't very good? Like, a lot of the times I think of the Jaguars, let's say, this offseason, or someone who's got a ton of money. The Browns had a big offseason recently where they're not expected to win a Super Bowl, or you know, a team that's closer, a la, I'll throw out, like, the Patriots for many years, or, you know, the contenders like the Steelers, they may not need to be big players. So in terms of working back from a result, does that make any sense what I'm asking? Like, I think that sometimes the teams that are doing a lot of spending, they might not be that good because they're not good teams.
That's very correct. The teams that aren't good have two things going for them. Typically, they're going to have better draft picks. They are also going to have potentially more draft picks. Why? Because free agents leave their team and go elsewhere, and so they get extra picks via the compensatory selections. So now you got better picks and more picks, and you can do more with them. But the point you're making is a fair one if you're looking at one season, which is why in the studies that I'm looking at how do you build a Super Bowl contender? And so I looked at a three-year period of spending in free agency, not just 1 year, not just, oh, the Jets are bad, so what are they going to do in 2021 in free agency? I'm looking at how could the general manager of the Jets turn that franchise into a better team over the next 3 years so that they're in contention to win a Super Bowl potentially in 2024? And the answer that I found looking at the last 5 years of data is that those 3 years, even if you're spending money, you need to spend below the NFL average. Teams that spend above the NFL average in free agency consistently are not going to put themselves in better positions to win the Super Bowl. And it sounds counterintuitive, but those are what the results show. So absolutely, I 100% agree with you. The worst teams will have more cap space and will have better draft picks. And we shouldn't expect them to win as many games the very next season. But that's why I looked at a longer sample size of spending for bad teams. And I will add, the key thing that you guys are obviously looking at as well in D.C., the way you win games is finding a quarterback. And so all of your efforts need to go into how are we going to find this next quarterback so that we can then build around him and supplement him using some draft picks that hopefully will develop, using some smart free agent signings that aren't paying a ton of money. I think, you know, some of these teams, what they end up doing, yeah, you need to get a couple free agents that make differences. But I looked back at some of the teams that are winning these Super Bowls, and many of their players, we're talking like 80% of players in some cases that are skill position players, their quarterback, their wide receivers, their running backs, their tight ends. These are guys on their first contract with the team. So you are Washington. You have not had a lot of success in terms of winning, producing winning records. You got to the playoffs last year and you want to get more of that. You want to go deeper into the playoffs. You want to actually have a winning season in 2021. Many of the guys that are going to get you there whenever you do and whenever hopefully you can win a Super Bowl are going to be because you found a quarterback and you've got a lot of guys that are good on their first contract with your team. And so it is capable to turn teams around pretty quickly in some cases, but you just have to be smart as a general manager and with the decision-making process from ownership.
Follow our guy, Warren Sharp, at Sharp Football here on Twitter. Warren, about a minute left here, quick one. What's the draft correlation? Because I thought that was some interesting findings in your piece as well, how teams allocate draft capital that have been Super Bowl champs or really good over the period of the time that you studied.
They actually spend just under average in terms of draft capital. So these are teams that you aren't finding very many teams. We've seen it with maybe the Cleveland Browns or some other teams like the Minnesota Vikings last year who went out and allocated and tried to get in a ton of draft assets and get everybody stacked up for the draft. It's hard to hit in the draft, whether you have 10 picks or whether you have 6 picks. It's hard to hit. It's more so about making those picks count. And I know statistically, the more you have, the more likely that you are to hit. But having a lot of draft capital is not going to equate to winning games next year or the year after that. It's actually hitting on those picks. So GMs need to be savvy. And that's why we've seen some guys, they trade out of a draft pick. They send him to another team and in exchange get a player. We've seen a lot more recently teams trading draft picks to get players instead. So they don't have to go through the free agency process and overspend on that player, but they're able to get a more known commodity than a draft pick that may or may not pan out. So it's all about taking things in moderation here, free agency and the draft, but hitting and hitting really well on those guys.
Warren, I know Danny said that was the last one, but I'm going to make him a liar. Real fast, Washington, what do you think they should do then? They've got all this money. This is an offseason where more good players might be available than normal. How would you play this if you were them?
The tough part is you're going to have a lot more good players that are available, but a low cap. You guys have a little bit more space, so maybe you can compete with some of the teams that have less money to spend. But a lot of the good guys are going to be willing to take these short one-year deals to try to go on a super team to win a Super Bowl and then hit free agency again the following season. So the key is you just can't overspend trying to lure those guys to your team. It's a difficult situation, but it's a fun one, and I think the savviest GMs are really going to be able to take advantage of this very unique offseason.
Warren, you're the best, buddy. I always appreciate the time, man. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Check out Warren's work, Sharp Football. He does an awesome job breaking down the NFL. 5 at 5 is next on Grant and Danny. Remember, at 5:25, Nats reliever and World Series hero Dan Hudson right here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.